سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. We started off the subject of pleasure and what is pleasure and how important it is in a person's growth, and learned that pleasure is a part of our nature, seeking pleasure, wanting to be happy. Happiness is a natural goal of mankind. People want to be happy. That's why they do the things they do. No one lives their lives to be sad. And those who do, it's known as a psychological disease or illness. It's a condition, right? Where people want to be sad. So people, human beings, their nature is that they want to be happy. That's their nature. And hence Allah kept this in our nature, in ourselves, so that we can go after it and seek the heights of pleasure. And when we go to these pleasures of life, of things, we will reach a natural conclusion that the pleasure that we get from the things, the materialistic things in this world, can only give us so much satisfaction, can only gratify us to such an extent, after which we will be bored. If I like to play games, if I'm a gamer, and you play games, what happens if you play too much? You will see that slowly and slowly it wears off. It's not as exciting as it used to be. And this is how things happen. So now, when we look at the world and the things in this world that we deal with, then we are taking pleasure from that. Allah did not say, don't take pleasure from it. Allah says, take pleasure from it. And take it to such an extent that until you come to a realization that, wow, I'm not being satisfied with these things. Now, our nature is going to take over us. And we are going to strive to find better ways of becoming happy, greater ways of seeking pleasure. But those pleasures that are much more intense and much more gratifying are pleasures that are not found in materialistic things. These are found in spiritual things. These are found in things that are related to our soul, related to greater meaning, related to those things that are beyond matter. We don't need someone else to tell us that this is the case. I don't need to tell you that. You, if you just pay attention to the things that you find pleasure in and see how much you get from it, you will reach the conclusion that, wow, this is not enough. I need more. And when you need more, then, my friends, my brothers and sisters, then we start seeking those. But in order to get to those, there has to be a certain amount of work that needs to be done. Yes. You know, you always wanted that six-pack, right? It doesn't come easy. You know how much work you need to put in to get that? Now, there's a pleasure in that, right? Having that. Right? Yeah, then having a one-pack. You know? There is a pleasure in that. But in order to reach that pleasure, you know, you have to get first out of your couch, stop watching TV, stop playing games, and go to the health club and work out. And not just work out, you need to be doing it as a regimen every day in order for you to reach that state of having that, so then that brings you happiness. For anything, you want to achieve something better than that? Yes. Sitting on the couch with a Coke in your hand and popcorn and watching the Sunday NFL is pleasing. It's happy, you know. I'm happy doing that. But what if I was actually playing the game? Would that make me happier? But in order to do that, I need to do some things. I need to work. You see, for any happiness that is better than the happiness you have, you have to work towards it. You have to put in effort. It doesn't come easily. It's not, you know, something that's going to be gifted to you. It comes there. Now you reach this point. Yesterday I mentioned that one of those things that make us go to the greater heights is love. Yes. When you like and more than like love something, you see that that thing will give you much more pleasure. All right. Let's look at it in smaller things. You know, for example, there are two types of food. You know, you have pizza and you have salad. Right? So, if that was a choice, I'd go for the pizza. Right? I like pizza, right? And maybe you don't like pizza. But if pizza is what's on the menu tonight at Movement Center, so I don't think so, but if it is, then because I like pizza, I'm going to have pleasure in eating it. You see, my pleasure is much more than you who, you know, do not subscribe to pizza. You know, you're more of the health-conscious type and say salads, you know. So you go for that. But it's not there. You eat it. There will be a pleasure for you eating the pizza, but not as much as me because I like it. You see, when you like something, you enjoy it more. You enjoy it more. That's how it happens. And when you love someone, and if this thing comes through love, you will see that you love it much more. Yes. You know? I gave the examples yesterday, so you all can remember those examples. This is where we ended off, my friends. Now let me start from here. If you all can just make one more effort in trying to move forward so we have more room in the back as people are still coming in. Salawat. And the ladies also, if you all can move forward, inshallah, everyone. Yes, we have a lot of room in the front door, you know. Yeah, squeeze in, you know. Now let's do it all together. One more salawat. All right, everyone, now here we are, and this is the case. We understand that we need to reach for the higher pleasures in life. First of all, this is an issue that I want you to attest to before I go forward. Really, because the fact is that if you just hear it and think that this is some sort of an ideology or some sort of a belief, then these words don't have any meaning for you nor me. Until we believe that this is our need. Really, this is what I want. Then, you know what, the next step that I'm going to mention is actually going to have an effect on you. Do you really want to feel the height of enjoyment? Close that already. That's the truth. How about the boys? Men. Hey, you know? There'll be some who say the knee of that counts, right? But here's the thing, right? I want you to understand this. Answer this question for me. Do you really want to feel the height of enjoyment, or are you happy the way you are? Really? You want to be happy? More than what you are right now? You want to feel the height of pleasure? Where you are just going crazy? And wild? Okay, good. If you want that, then now I will move forward. Because without you wanting it, the next steps will make no sense for you. Right? It'll be just like, okay, you know, I heard it. It's very interesting. Now let's go on with life. My friends, life is about pleasure. Admit it. I want to be happy. I want enjoyment. I want to have fun. Life is about fun. Life is about happiness. And if that's the case, if you admit to it, now do you want to have more fun? That's the question. Do you want to reach that place where you are just like completely engrossed? Completely drowned in happiness? Look into yourself and answer it. And if you say yes to that, then... The next step that I'm going to mention is going to be really important for you. So if it's a yes, let's send salawat. All right, that wasn't convincing, all right? Let's see if you all can really want to be happy, all right? One, two, three. All right, here we go, my friends. Understand this. Let me give you an introduction to this, and you understand this. When people think about that extreme pleasure and lust and fulfillment of their desire, where you are completely in a complete state of ecstasy. Where you are completely drowned in happiness. You look at, for example... The Anbiya, you look at the Ahlul Bayt, you look at the Awliya, for example, those Urafa and Arif and Ulama who had reached that great stage. And you look at their lives and you see their lives are having so much fun in their lives. My friend, their lives are not just interesting for them, it is delightful. Every moment they're cherishing. While we are looking for things to do to become happy, they are so happy that they don't need anything else. They are just happy. And when we see that, some people think that we reach there by loving Allah. I mentioned about love yesterday, but understand this. Some people think that I will reach there by love of Allah and love of Ahlul Bayt, you know, just love. And that love is going to make me drown, and I will become an arif, and I'll become a gnosis, and you know, I will become such that my body is amongst the people, but my ruh and soul is with Allah. That's how I'm going to become. Just by loving Allah and just... You know, giving my heart to Allah, that's how I become great. That's how I live that life. Well, I hate to bust the bubble for you, you know? But that's not how you get there. That's not how you get there, my friend. It is a complete misunderstanding. You know? And this is where, for example, Sufis are lost. You know, they thought that, oh, it's just love. And they, wanted love. And the Sufistic type of Islam, you know, that we have amongst ourselves, you know, all we need is love. You know, that type of mentality. What happens? When you go at the beginning stages of your journey and think that love is going to get you there, you are mistaken. It never happens that way. It doesn't happen that way. This is where we need to understand how do we get there to that level. And those who got there to that level, they didn't get there through love. We are not lovers. Don't have an incorrect idea of ourselves that we are lovers. You know, they say that we love Ahlul Bayt. Really, if I ask you the question, I'll put you on the spot. So I will do it anyway. Do you love Ahlul Bayt? Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Well, so now we know that you can send salawat on Ahlul Bayt, but do you love them? Understand this. Friends, you see, here's where really I want you to understand something, right? A lover of Ahlul Bayt has been described by Ahlul Bayt, and we don't fit that description. We like to love Ahlul Bayt. Say it that way. Be humble. And say the reality. Yes, I like them and I want to love them. Really. Because in Hadith it has come when someone, if someone loves Ahlul Bayt, he cannot think of anything else in his life. I think of many things in my life. I do many things. So what does that mean? Well, Alhamdulillah, you like Ahlul Bayt and you want to love them. This is the reality of the situation. So now, being a lover is a whole different thing, my friends. Being a lover is a whole different plane. We are not there yet. We want to get there. That's why I'm telling you the next step. You want to get there, but I want you to know what I'm speaking of. That's why, yes, you know, the way we say, yes, you know, we love Ahlul Bayt is more of a, what you call a formality. A, you know, like an official statement, which really is not the case. That's how it is. Loving Ahlul Bayt and being a lover of Ahlul Bayt is a whole different story. You know, when you look at a person who loved Ahlul Bayt, you have examples like Meetham, for example. You know, Meetham at the Mar. Meetham, he was a lover of Imam Ali. You know, he was a lover of Imam Ali. And, you know, Imam Ali just told him one day, Meetham, you know what? You will be hung from a tree. Yeah, you will be hung from a tree right here. He told that to Meetham. As soon as Meetham heard that, you know what? He saw the place, there was no tree there. There was no tree there. So he planted a seed and watered it. His whole life he watered that tree on which he was going to be hung. People called him crazy. People regarded him crazy. He couldn't think of anything other than Imam Ali. You see, this is a lover. Right? This is a lover. And so now, we want to reach there, my friends. So, When we say we have to be honest with ourselves and say we like Ahlul Bayt and we want to love them. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. So a spiritual life like Meetham's, a spiritual life like those people who truly love Ahlul Bayt doesn't start with love, it starts with reasoning. It starts with aql. With intellect, with reasoning.
And I'm like, okay, you know, we do use reason, this and that. Yes, it starts with that. You know where it leads you to? Most of us don't use our reasoning. Most of us don't use our reasoning, and hence we end up not really taking advantage of the potential that our life, faculty that our life has given us. So now, my friends, reasoning, where does that lead to? Well, it leads to the love of Allah. How? Well, there is a step that you need to take. There is a step that you need to take in order to get there. But you will get there. I'll mention that step, but it doesn't happen overnight, my friends. Please understand very carefully. You cannot get to Allah overnight. Yes, there have been history and incidents and experiences of people who have journeyed in faith in one day what a normal person would do in 100 years. You see some people in history who have grown spiritually overnight in a moment's time more than what other people would grow in 100 years. But that is an anomaly. It's not the norm. That is not the norm. That's not how it happens. That's just, you know, an abnormality. Someone does that, it happens. But the way to get there is long, it's not easy, and it's consistent. It requires consistency, persistence, and redundancy. You might be wondering, wow. Did all the earlier go through this? Yes, they did. It was a long, dry, boring life. And you said, but you earned another pleasure. You know what? They graduated from the pleasures of dunya. They wanted better pleasures. In order to get there, as I said, you need to do a little work. Well, you know, it's not a little. It's a lot of work, my friends. How do we do that? What is it? What does reasoning bring us to? There's only one way to get there, my friends. It's called taslim, submission. Yes. You want to love Allah? First, you have to submit. You have to submit first. Submission. Submit to Him.
No, I don't feel like submission, but I do love Allah. All right. What are you talking about? The first step is to submit.
Reason, our aql, is what makes a person, what makes us submit to Allah. There is a hadith that Imam Jafar Sadiq al-Islam has mentioned. And he said that in defining aql and reasoning, he said, al-aql ma ubida bihir rahman. He says, aql is that which makes a person worship Allah. Aql, intellect, intelligence, reasoning is that faculty that makes you worship Allah. If it doesn't make you worship Allah, then the hadith is not wrong. It's you who don't have aql. It's you who are being silly. Childish. You're the one who's not using their aql. Because what reasoning does, it makes a person understand that he needs to submit. Really, this is how it happens, my friends. If you want to talk to a youth and a youngster who is wayward or anything like that, if you want to talk to a person who doesn't believe in God, first you make him submit by using his reasoning. Use your aql. Where? Tell me. Right? Tell me. Do you know when you're going to die?
No.
Can it happen any moment? You reply.
You said, no, can you guarantee it?
Well, my friends, it means that something is going to come and overwhelm you. It's going to overtake you. So, do you submit to death?
Try not to.
You know, I'll give you another example. I'll explain it in the way so you understand it. Salawat ala Muhammad. First, let me read this hadith for you from Imam Ali alayhi salam. He said that al-ilmu qa'id wal-amalu sa'ik wal-nafsu harun. He said that knowledge is driving you from the front. Knowledge is leading you from the front. Your actions are pushing you from the back. And your nafs, your desires, yourself, is in between these two things, trying to be rebellious. Understand this. Knowledge is leading your front, you know, saying, come this way. And your actions are pushing you, and you are in between these two things, meaning your nafs and your desires, and you want to be obstinate, you want to be rebellious, and don't want to conform to what knowledge and actions want you to become. This is your nafs. This is your desires. That's in between, right? My friends, this is what happens now. You can have knowledge, you can have actions, but now it's your nafs that needs to be discipline. It needs to be put in check. It needs to be brought into line. I can tell you whatever I want from this majlis, but is your nafs and your desire going to let you fall in line with that knowledge? It's you who have to do this. So ultimately, in order for you to do that, you have to submit, to surrender. What does this mean? Alright. I said I'll give you an example. You know what a Red Bull time is? Alright, Red Bull time is like when you have a lot of work to do and you are tired and feeling sleepy and you can't go to sleep or don't want to go to sleep, so you take Red Bull. Right. You take an energy drink, right? Let's say you have an exam coming up and you're like, you know what, I need to stay up and need to learn this, right? So you take a Red Bull or energy drink, whatever is your taste, you know, Monster, Rockstar, whatever, you know? You can take whatever you want, but energy drink, right? Power, energy drink, herbal, or whatever. So, I call it Red Bull time because when we used to do that, we used to take Red Bull, right? Or for example, when you're driving and you need to reach home or you need to reach somewhere and you're really tired. So what do you do? Red Bull time. You know, you're going by Red Bull. You know, it refreshes you up, you know, gives you some more energy to go on a little bit further. So now, understand this. We take energy drinks in order to last longer. To be awake longer, to work longer. But tell me, you take one, you take two, you take three. And you know what? A time will come when your exhaustion and your tiredness will become so much that no Red Bull will work now. Chai. The chai stage had gone a long time ago. That was before the Red Bull stage. Yeah, what are you talking about? You took whatever you can, now it's over. Now you reached a point where you can't take it any longer. You can't be awake any longer. So now what happens? The only thing is that you have to give in to sleep. You have to submit to it. You have to submit to it. You can't go on any longer. That's it. Now the only thing that will help you is sleep, and you have to submit to it. My friends, that's why it's called sleep is the brother of death. You can avoid death as much as you want. You can run away from it as much as you want. You can go to as many doctors as you want and get as many insurances as you want. But eventually, you're going to give in. You're going to submit. This is called submission. You are going to submit. There is no way that you're going to go without this. You are going to go down, my friends. 6 feet under. Right? You are going to go down. Now, everyone, not just you, everyone else outside. My friends, death is the best submitter. I mean, it will make you submit. No matter who you are. So now, when you are going to submit and surrender to death, if you know that this is the eventuality and that this is going to happen, then what's making you not submit to it right now? Why not now? What's making you say that no?
When it comes, you'll see.
Wow. When it comes, you'll see. And if that's your attitude when it comes, then you'll be like seeing it and crying and wishing it wasn't here. If you had just paid a little bit more attention before that, maybe you could have been ready for it. You would have seen it come and you'd be happy. Wow, this is my death I was waiting for all along. Right?
There it is. That's how I'm going to die.
My friends, this is submission. Until a person doesn't submit, really, there is no growth. That's going to come. And the idea of loving another man, forget about that. All right, inshallah, one more message we have moving forward, and let's send us a lot of them forward. A little bit more forward, brothers, inshallah, as more people are watching from outside and they're saying that there's no room inside, ladies also. Very well, alhamdulillah. Now one more salawat. So my friends, eventually we are going to die. Death is going to make us submit to it. If we understand that, that's our reasoning working now. It's not emotions or anything else. It's reasoning. I looked at everything, my experienced life. I saw people die. Everyone's going to die. I'm not running away anywhere. So now it's going to happen. Now tell me. Wait, if death is going to make us submit, who is giving us death? In whose hand is death? It's in Allah's hand. So when it's in Allah's hand, and death is going to make me submit, so it's better for me to submit to Allah.
Submit to him. This is our reasoning telling us, our logic telling us, what the heck is wrong with you?
Don't you know this is reality? Submit to it. And the nafs is saying, I don't want to.
Why not?
Really, why not?
I ask myself that question.
Why am I not? Why am I not submitting?
Is there more?
My friend, understand this. What is submission? Because this is where your growth is. Without it, as I said, the thoughts of being a lover of Ahlul Bayt are just delusions.
It's not even possible. It's not even possible.
La ilaha illallah. Allah repeatedly in the Quran admonishes people, warns them, threatens them.
He says death. Hellfire.
You know what hellfire is?
And then Allah says it in such a horrific way.
You know, I mean, really, if you read the Quran regarding hellfire and what Allah has in store for those who don't believe, inshallah, you will not be going there. Right?
But he scares you. He's scaring people.
You know, nowadays that will be called mental abuse.
You know, he's scaring people and saying, listen, You don't do this, I'm going to destroy you.
So what do you say to that?
Okay,
said man. But you know what some people will say? Some people will say, Allah shouldn't use the stick. He should use the carrot. And, he should, lure us and, entice us to doing these things. He has to take our opinion also in this matter. He's taking my view in this matter also.
Okay.
But Allah doesn't change. He says, all right, you stay like that, and one day you'll come back to me. And then we'll see.
My friends, the stick is being used so that Allah doesn't have to use the stick on you.
See this?
He's using the stick, not because he wants to use it, he's threatening you that he doesn't have to use it. And here the obstinate nature of some people tells them, no, I will not submit. I won't listen. Allah is saying these things. Why? Because this nafs that we have, this ourself that we have, that needs to be brought down.
La ilaha illallah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Alright, so let's ponder over this submission, right? Because this is really important in our lives and in our growth. If you want to grow and reach that ultimate happiness I'm talking about, that Islam is talking about, that Allah wants you to have, Allah says this is the way, the path of submission. This is the way it is, my friend.
You see, now let's go.
When you read the du'as of Ahlul Bayt, and when they are talking about Allah, before they talk about anything, the first thing they talk about is submission.
Richard,
the first thing they talk about is submission. Reading Dua Kumail, Imam Ali is saying, La yumkino firar min hukumatik. Allah, it's not possible to run away from you, to escape from you.
We here are thinking that we are lovers. We speak to Allah like lovers. We are lovers. We're not into these things, We are lovers.
That's how people think, Because they've heard speeches, from this alim and that alim, and they actually think they're lovers. Right? And you're like, come on, please, get back to reality. You're not. But you can be. There's potential in you to be. But you're not yet. Don't even try to fool yourself and try to think that you are some sort of a lover and that you are like this and like that. Really, when we speak about heaven, for example, Allah speaks about heaven and all these things and big houses and big mansions and, all these things in heaven and Urul-Een and all that, you're like, we don't worship Allah for Jannah, we worship Allah for Himself.
Allah, you don't say these things.
Imam Ali says these things.
Not you.
We really don't worship Allah for anything in Jannah. We worship Allah for Himself. That's what Imam Ali said. Yes, Imam Ali said that. But you don't say that. Look at you. Your four-bedroom house is driving you crazy. The Urul-Een that's walking in your neighborhood is making you go wild.
Come on. Get back to reality.
Who are you?
Really, this is us, my friends.
Don't. You really have delusions about ourselves. We are what we are. We are good people who want to become better. That's who we are, and Ahlul Bayt have given us the way to do that. They said, this is the way for you doing that. How do you do it? He says, first submit yourself. This desire that you have, this nafs that you have, make it submit. That's why Imam Ali, for example, he's not speaking like a lover at the beginning of this dua. See, Imam Ali, because if it was a lover, he would say that, Ya Allah, I love you so much, I would never look at anyone other than you. I would never leave you. I would never go away from you. This is a lover speaking. But Imam Ali is saying, Allah, I'm stuck, I can't leave you. I can't escape your hukumah, your domain. I'm in jail here. I am
Really, I am in jail here. I have no choice. The first thing, submission, a lie, I can't run away from you. There's no way, there's no place to run. Submission. Mama Lee saying submit. When you read the law, you will see the concept of submission, of making yourself surrender to Allah. This concept is there all the time. For example, when you read the Taqibat of prayers, namaz, right? I wrote one down. Let me read you the Taqibat of Isha prayer. How many of you read the Taqibat of prayer? You hear it in the masjid, right? If you don't, you should read the Taqibat that I mentioned. They're all about submission. You know, you see, for example, Allahumma inna innahu laysa li ilman bi mawdi' rizqi. Allah, I don't know, I have no knowledge of where my rizq is, where my provisions are. Wa innama atlubuhu bi khatarati takhturu ala qalbi. I'm just following a hunch, trying to look for them. A hunch, a guess that I have, I'm trying to look for them. Fa'ajulu fi talabi al-buldan. So I'm running around the city looking for it. Ana fima ana talibun al-hayran. I'm just bewildered. I don't know where it is. La adri afi sahlin am fi jabal. I don't know if it's in the plains or in the mountains. Am fi ardin am fi sama, or in the earth or in the skies. Am fi bahrin am fi bahr. I don't know if it's in the ocean or the land. I don't know where my provisions are, Allah. But he said, then what? وَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ عَنَّ عِلْمَهُ إِنَّكْ. But what I know is that the knowledge of where it is with you. You have the knowledge of it. You have the knowledge of it. And then he says, وَتَقْسِمُهُ بِاللُّطْفِ وَتُقْسِمُهُ بِاللُّطْفِ. And you distribute it according to your kindness. My friends, what is this? This is submission. Submit to the fact that it's in Allah's hands. Alright, my friends. The first, make your nafs submit to Allah, not love Allah. Don't try to fall in love with Allah right now, because that's not going to work. The minute you start falling, you want to fall in love with Allah, and you think that's the path, it will mislead you. You will think that you are something that you are not, and you will fall down. You know why you have fluctuations in your iman and your life? Because of this. Sometimes you feel really good, sometimes you feel really bad. Why? Because you think that you are something that you are not, you haven't even surrendered to Allah yet. When you surrender and submit to Allah, then this whole growth is going to happen. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Alright, since a lot of time has passed, right, I'm just going to give you one secret. I will let it be known to you today, you know, if in case, you know, we don't meet again, right, so you don't go from here. My friends, one of the ways that you can submit to Allah. This is okay. Now you know that you have to submit to Allah. How can I submit to Allah? What makes a person submit to Allah? And I'm going to give you this secret. And it's valuable. One way to submit to Allah. Understand this. If you can know this, this is the key that's going to work in every door. This is the golden key. Really, my friends, are you ready to listen to it? La ilaha illallah. My friends, there's one key element here. I want to give you this. It will solve many puzzles for you in your life. Many puzzles for you. Understand this. How do I make myself submit to Allah? Here it is, my friends. One of the things that make you submit to Allah
is the knowledge of the restrictions of life.
Yes.
If you can understand that your life is not in your hands, it's in Allah's hands. That your death is not in your hands, it's in Allah's hands. That your risk is not in your hands, it's in Allah's hands. Then you will never be greedy for anything else because it's not in your hands to get it. It's not in your hands to get it, it's in Allah's hands. He gives to whom He pleases whatever He pleases. A life I don't have it is because you didn't want me to have it. So if I don't have it, then I don't look at my neighbor having the Bentley and saying, I should get that too. I would never say that because I know that I can't get it. It's Allah who has to give it to me. That's it, my friends. Understand it really well. This life that what you are in, it's really not in your control. There are certain things in your control, very few, minor things. I just want, you know, this is something that has to be explained in depth, which I don't know if I have the time to explain it. Really, our life is not in our hands, my friends. We think it is. I walk around as if it's, you know, I make the decisions. Really don't make the decisions. It's Allah who makes the decisions for us. My friends, understand this. You have heard the hadith, for example, says that whenever a person sins, there is a darkness that appears in his heart. And the more he sins, that darkness increases until his whole heart becomes darkened and black, and now he can't come back, he can't reverse himself. What does that mean? You see, there is a point of no return. Allah gives you a chance, and another chance, another chance. If you reach the point of no return, then no matter if you want to come back, you can't come back. Allah says, I've locked their hearts. La ilaha illallah. It happens that way. And if you're good, if you're a good person, you did good things, you came to the majlis of Imam Hussain, you cried for Imam Hussain, you did all this for Imam Hussain, and now Allah is telling you, you're like, for example, now you want to do something wrong, something haram. After the majlis, you went back and said, you know what? Let me do something haram. Whatever it is. You decided to do haram, but because of your goodness, Allah will not allow you to do it. You'll see it. Allah will not allow you to do it. You had the full intention of doing something wrong. And you know what Allah did? He put some obstacles in the way that, you know, mess you up, and you couldn't get it done. And then later on you can wonder, man, I decided to do haram, but I didn't do it. Why didn't you do it? Allah stopped you. You just can't make your own decisions, my friends. It's Allah who's in charge of the world. And we are just pawns. Yes, there are certain things that we decide. Certain times we make an intention. Allah says, did you make the intention of being good? When you made the intention of being good, now Allah takes over your life and makes you good.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu
Akbar.
Muhammad wa ali Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wow, you know what? I need to say to you all, you know, you've been sitting here hearing me talk for an hour right now. That's really good, and I see that you're paying attention, so alhamdulillah, you know, something's going right here. You know, I'll give an example and move forward from here, right? Understand this, my, you know, this is how it works, my friends. Let's say that I did something wrong. There's a hadith, you know, from the Prophet who said that whoever eats a mouthful of haram, a bite of haram food. You know, you're walking, you know, you're driving by McDonald's and, you know,
hungry, and no one's watching, right? No one knows you there, and you slowly, you know, sneak into the... and you order something that you shouldn't be ordering, right? And you eat it. Won't sell you anything. Look at this hadith. He says, anyone who eats a bite of haram food for 40 days, his prayers will not be accepted. Now, because you ate that, now you're in lockdown mode, quarantine for 40 days. Yes. You're quarantined like an Ebola patient for 40 days, you know? That's how Allah does it. 40 days, he said, no more. You have to pray. You can go on praying. But you are stuck for 40 days now. You won't be accepted. Now when I hear that, let's say, hey, you know what? I made a mistake. I realized it. And I said, Allah, please forgive me. Istighfar, astaghfirullah, tawbah. I shouldn't have done it. I repent. So Allah is saying, good, you repented. But your U-turn, your legal U-turn will come in 40 days.
Yes.
You know, like for example, you use your GPS and you miss your turn and, you know. And the voice in your GPS says, you know, make a legal U-turn. So what happened is that I turned my life around. I did my istighfar, but Allah says, listen, my... takdir, what I have determined for you has taken over your life. Now you can't make a U-turn in 40 days. Wait for 40 days and your legal U-turn will come. That's the way it is. Our life is in Allah's hands. Don't think it's in your hands. The minute you start thinking it's in our hands, then it's finished, my friend. We are finished. That's who we are. You know, a moment when he looks at this, really, when he looks at this, I'll, inshallah, go on with this, inshallah, tomorrow. But when a moment looks at this, you know who we are? When we come face to face, you know, with Allah and death, you know who we are? You know, Allah gives us an example. How many of you have washed a dead body before? A dead body, good. You have some people here who washed a dead body. I have washed enough of them, right? And a lot of them. My friends, it's an amazing experience, right? Of washing, especially people that I knew who were alive yesterday. They were with me yesterday and they died today. And when you have to wash their body, you know, you look at them. I mean, until yesterday, he had his opinion, he had, you know, his say, everything. You can't just make him do things. You have to ask him, brother, will you come here? You'll be okay. He had his own will. Now he's on this table, and I'm washing him. I turn him to the right. He turns to the right. Can't say anything. I turn him to the left. He turns to the left. Can't say anything. Friends, he's completely in my hands. I'm the washer. I'm turning him around. Nothing, just like that. You know what? This is the example of a mu'min, that dead body who's in the hands of Allah. Allah, turn me where you want me to turn.
Allah, Muhammad,
turn me where you want me to turn. This is it, my friends. When we look at this and see ourselves, that's what we are. Submitted to Allah, surrender to Allah. You run my life. How dare I say something when you are present? But just to give you some hope so that you don't leave like, oh my goodness, I just have to do this, right? Just give me one statement I'll make for you, all right? Tell me, my friends. FM, I want you to understand Allah before you submit. Understand it, first of all. Submit to it, right? Understand it. You know, what does Allah like more? Does he like to order you around, or does he like to take orders from you? Order you around, right? Really? Understand this. What does Allah like? Does Allah like to give orders or take orders? My friends, understand this very well. Then you will know who Allah is. You know, Allah, really, when you look at it, how many things He asked you to do? He said, listen, this is the comparison if you want to know this. I am asking you to listen to me for how long? 50 years? 60 years? 70 years? How long do you think you live here? 50, 60, 70, whatever years. He says, I'm giving you orders for 70 years or 80 years of this life that you have. And if you listen to me here, then I will be listening to your orders for eternity. Come to Jannah, and there you tell me what to do, and I'll do it for you. Order me. Say, Allah, I want this. And I'll give it to you. My friends, Allah wants us to give Him orders, Allah. I want this. Allah wants this from us. But He says, in order to reach that state, listen to me for a few years while you're here. Listen to me, this is Allah. When He tells you this is haram, or this is wajib, it's only for a few years. After this, trust me, you will be the one giving the orders. Allah will be the waiter listening to you and bringing you what you want. This is Allah, my friends. Now you can see what Allah wants from us reaching that pleasure. La ilaha illallah. You know, tonight, speaking of that, It was the night of Ashura when Imam Hussein had called his companions and was telling them that here's the list of the martyrs. The list of the martyrs that are going to die tomorrow. They were looking at the list. Everyone was hearing the names of people who are going to die tomorrow. Is that? Dying tomorrow. That's it. And you know what? In between all of that, all these men, Muslim ibn al-Sajjah, Habib ibn al-Zahir, all of them, giving their statements that they, that they're ready to die, prepared to die, and all these things. Even Abbas stood up and gave his statement and testimony to how he's going to die. And in the middle of all that, there was a child, 13-year-old child, by the name of Qasim ibn Hassan. Hazrat Qasim stood up in the middle of that and said, Uncle, is my name also there? When Imam Hussein looked at Qasim, I don't know what went into his mind, but Imam Hussein was visibly shaken by the question that Qasim asked. Something came over his mind, and he saw Qasim, and tears came from his eyes. And you know what Imam Hussein said to Qasim? And he said something that shook Qasim now. He said, Qasim, you're talking about yourself. Even your brother Ali Azhar is on this list. And Qasim could not believe that. But who would kill Ali Azhar? He's just a baby. Friends, this is Qasim. And this Qasim, Imam Hussein asked him another question. He says, Qasim, you want to die? Tell me. What is death to you? He says, Allah min al-Asl. He says, it's more sweeter than honey for me. I really don't know how much I love death. How much I love death. How sweet it is for me. My friend, he's 13 years old. He's 30 years old. For those kids who are here, maybe, it might not ring to them. It might not really make sense to them. But I really want you to understand this, right? in a way that, you know, it would really make sense for us. You know, here, you know, my friends, when we look at Kasem, he's 13 years old. At 13-year-old, right now, amongst us, what is more important in his daily life? You will see those things that are important for him. Does anyone say that, you know what, I want to go to Allah. I want to go to Allah because I love him so much. I can't wait until I die. Is that someone who says that? Understand who Qasim is. Understand what Qasim is. Qasim, really, he is the orphan of Imam Hassan. Imam Hassan is no more. He doesn't have a father. It's very difficult being without a father. Those who have been to Karbala and have seen the tents know. The tents of Ahlul Bayt were in the middle, but Qasim's tent is somewhere else. Umm Farwa's tent is somewhere else. When you look at that, you feel what Umm Farwa was feeling on the day of Ashura. You feel that when you go there and see the tent, because the tent of Umm Farwa was somewhere else, Qasim was somewhere else, and the cousins of Qasim were somewhere else. Ali Akbar was with Imam Hussein. All and Muhammad were here, but Qasim was staying in his own tent by himself because his father descended. Qasim was somewhere else. That's why on the night of Ashura, when Umm Farwa spoke to Qasim, she told Qasim that, Qasim, listen. There is a lot that you have to prove tomorrow. You have to prove a lot tomorrow. You know your father, who your father was. Qasim, many people say many things, Qasim, but your father left you as his legacy. So you show the legacy of Hassan to the people of the world tomorrow. Qasim was waiting for Ashura to come, my friends. Qasim was waiting for Ashura to come. And when Ashura came from the morning, Qasim was waiting for his chance to go to the battlefield. And when Imam Hussein did not allow him, and he delayed his going to the battlefield, Qasim was getting impatient. Since we don't have that much time, I'll make this brief, my friends, understand. Just imagine what Qasim is going through. When Imam Hussein, when you see Ali Akbar's body came back, Qasim could not handle it, that Ali Akbar has gone before me. When Alan and Muhammad came back, he said, Alan and Muhammad have gone before me. And then every time you would ask Imam Hussein, Imam Hussein would say, no, go back to your mother needs you. And Qasim was sitting there. And then the mother reminded him, Qasim, remember that locket that your father gave you, and it's in your neck right now. He said to open that up when you were in need. Qasim was never in need before this. So now when he saw himself in need, he opened the locket and there was a letter of Imam Hassan. There was a letter of Imam Hassan to Qasim, saying, Qasim, when you read this letter, you will see that your uncle will be alone. And you give this letter to him, and he will give you what you want. Qasim, when he saw this letter, he ran towards Imam Hussein. He ran towards Imam Hussein, and he asked Imam Hussein, see this letter that I have. Imam Hussein took a look at that letter and started to cry. He started crying, recognizing the writing of Imam Hassan. He started crying. He looked at Hassan. He brought him close to him, and he hugged him, and they both cried until they fell down. Hassan went to the battlefield. I'm making it brief. Hassan went to the battlefield, my friends. He went to the battlefield. He called out the war cry. And he went to battle. And now the time came. When someone came from behind and hit Imam Hassan in the head. He hit Qasim. Qasim fell down from the horse. And he called his uncle. His uncle came running. Abbas came running. You know what happened. But let me tell you what happened.
Let me tell you what happened. Let me take you back to Medina first. Let me take you back to Medina so you can feel this, my friend.
You know, in Medina, the daughter of Talha gave a gift to Hazrat Fatima. It was a dress she gave as a gift to Bibi Fatima. The dress that she gave was big for Bibi Fatima. It was taller and it was broader. It was big for her.
Listen to me very carefully.
Asma said that this dress is too big for you. Why don't you give it to me?
Fatima said, no.
I will keep this dress. You take any other dress of mine.
Go and take any other dress of mine.
I will keep this dress. And that was it. Now, this dress came up. You know when? On the day that Fatima cleaned the house. She sent the children out to play. She sent Hassan and Hussein out to play. And she called Asma. And said, Asma, bring that dress that Talha's daughter had given to me. Bring that out. Asma went, brought out that dress. My friends, the dress, as I said, was taller than Fatima and bigger than Fatima. And Fatima said, please help me wear this dress. This is the day that she's dying. Asma said that I helped her to put on the dress. And to my surprise, that dress was fitting Fatima. No, maybe you don't understand this. You see, when Qasim fell on the ground. I remember Qasim, you see there's something in Arabic called Razama. Razama means to be cut into pieces, to be broken into pieces. Something that's called Hazaza means that something has been stretched. Something is grounded, when you ground something, it stretches out for Hazama. My friend, in Islam, in the history of Islam, there are two Hazamas we have. One in Medina. Fatima was stretched between the wall and the door. And in Karbala, when Qasim fell on the ground, he wasn't cut to pieces. Qasim was so tall that his feet would not reach the bridle of the horse. But when Hussein picked him up, Qasim's feet were lying on the ground. Qasim was stretched by the horses.
Ya Mahmud, Hakim Hamad, Ya Allah, Hakim Ali, Ya Fatih, Ya Mahmud, Hakim Hassan, Ya Qadim Al-Hassan, Hakim Hussain, Allah give us the tawfiq to be on the right path.
Wisdom and understanding, your guidance, hasten the appearance of my mom, make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Martin Hussain.
Al-Hussain.